June 7, 2012, is Sawat from Pedro Show. Oh, Watt from Pedro Show, we're on the air. I should,
are we on?
Talking to my guest Jonathan here. We start off the show, John Coltrane doing Up Against the Wall, something live from June 1963. And then Rainflow by Sawako. We're talking about Christian. I got some music by him a little later. He wants to come give me some Anywhere records. He should come to the Long Beach gig tomorrow. But you just saw him? Because he's living here now, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Silver
he's
Lake.
Up in L.A., yeah.
And I know he wants me and Perk to jam with him.
Oh, that'd
Perk's been with Jane's Addiction. Anyway, people, it's Jonathan's fellow bass player, and it's his first time in Pedro. We ain't at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point. Brother Matt is overwhelmed with scholastic things, even though I think he might get scissored. His program is a big success. He's got the highest graduating rate. And the clowns at B won't see reason. But on the other hand, while he's been doing it this year, he's also been applying himself to his master's. So he has to go back out there in the teacher market thing. He's better prepared. But I think end of the month we'll have another show. I know right now it's just jam time for him. So we're just at Waspad. Jonathan's here talking with me. It's his first time to Pedro, although he's been to Long Beach. And so he goes a little west and he sees the other part of the harbor a little bit. Yeah, your journey with music. When did it start?
Well, started young.
Probably first with listening.
Listening a lot around the house. My dad, Pop, is a jazz musician, saxophone player.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What town?
Lincoln, Nebraska.
You guys are in Lincoln. Wow. Close to where D. Boone's pop was from.
That's what I understand, yeah.
Yeah, there's a little town outside of Lincoln. Wow.
Yeah.
So, you grow up, he's working musician?
Working musician and had a print shop. Still has that print shop.
Wow.
With my mom, and yeah. They run that. And,
so you're hearing music really early.
Yeah,
really
early.
First music you heard is your pops, probably, right?
First music I remember hearing is Stevie Wonder around the house.
Oh, playing records, albums?
Weather Report and things like that. But I went to gigs and stuff, saw him play a lot.
Wow.
And, got into it early.
Okay.
And so he had me,
What was his story? Did he start as a kid, too?
Sure did. And he went through the whole thing. He has a master's degree in music and was in the Navy playing during the war.
Train.
And, doing...
Train's first recordings are in the Navy.
Is that right?
Yeah, in Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you want to see book? I spoiled myself the other Christmas. He's still slow healing up. But you people can't see this, but this is the John Coltrane reference.
Oh, boy.
It's 187 fucking dollars. But it's got all his shit, all his gigs, all his recording, all his playing.
Wow.
Hard all 40 years.
It looks incredible.
So, a lot of research went into this shit. But anyway, so your pop... He went through all the formal stuff and then did gigs and all that.
Yeah.
And so you're a witness to all that.
Yeah. I was around for a lot
and
of it.
So you're influenced.
Uh-huh. I remember he taught a jazz history course at the university over there, and I remember sitting in it as a kid, because they wouldn't have babysitters for me all the time. So I'd just go, and he'd be teaching, and I'd be sitting in a desk.
Classroom.
In his classroom.
Wow.
The university. So I guess it probably seeped in early.
Yeah.
You know.
So, when did you grab an instrument?
Well, he had me, doing piano and things like that early.
When did you be playing piano?
Just to learn the stuff. And then I played trombone in bands and stuff. But, I guess I was about 13 or 14 when he put a bass, gave me a bass.
It was his idea.
It was his idea for sure. Wow. And it was funny.
What about the piano, the left hand? You were kind of on it.
Kind of on it.
And bone is a bass clef.
Yeah, knew how to. I learned how to read it. Kind of knew the, where it sat, where the bass, what bass clef meant, I guess, and things like that. But I remember when I wanted to play a a cool instrument, you know, a rock instrument or something like that, he dissuaded me from playing drums or guitar and had me go straight for bass.
For bass.
He's like, it's a good, guys who play it have good personalities and are
Did
cool.
Did he get you one?
We borrowed one for a little while, and then I got one pretty soon after that.
And whoa.
It's just been happening ever since, you know.
Okay, so you're in junior high school when you get this bass.
Mm-hmm.
How did you learn? Did he show you stuff? Did you learn off records?
Yeah, both. I took a few. Maybe a year or two of, two or three years of lessons, probably.
Well, like from a bass player
from
guy.
From a bass player guy who was really good in town.
This is in Lincoln.
In Lincoln.
Okay.
Andy Hall. He's still playing. He's great. And you know, I was learning all the normal things you learn, and then Then I guess when I was a couple years after that,
what about bands? Did you start?
Yeah, I was doing that.
Garage bands or in the school band?
Both.
Both.
Yeah.
What's your first garage band?
Well, let's
see. It was
with
buddies of yours, right?
Yeah, there were buddies. I was in, played cover bands and things like that.
Copying songs off records.
Doing all that. And
not really gigs, just jamming in the garage, right?
No, playing gigs too. By the time I was in high school, I was playing gigs a bunch.
But at first, I'm trying to know when you started.
Oh, yeah.
You just playing in
together
the room,
with buddies, of course.
That's what me and D Boone did, try to copy records. His little brother Joe. Be in the bedroom trying to copy records.
Right.
It was really hard for me on a lot of the records. I couldn't tell what the fucking bass was doing.
That's the thing.
Was that tough for you?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I was like learning guitar parts and things. And
This shirt you got now, I could hear him. Sure. I could hear, in England, they weren't afraid in rock and roll to have the bass loud. The Who, Cream, Black Sabbath.
You bet.
Even on the Bowie records, you could hear that Visconti and Trevor Bowler. You could hear they played it loud. But U.S. seemed only the R&B guys had the bass really out there.
Mm-hmm.
James Jamerson, Sly had Larry Graham.
Duck.
Be thumping out there. Duck was... Yeah, right. Booker T, you could hear that. Well, the guitar players played more clipped and syncopated. They left more room. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Those guys in England were playing loud guitar. They just turned up the bass more or something. Also the tone.
Yeah.
Those guys didn't go for the murky kind of... Yeah, they went for some balls-out tone, man. It was aggressive.
They kind of had a...
Jack Bruce, John Entwistle, Jesus.
Competing in their own way with it, seems like.
The other guys?
Yeah.
And not so much just being in the background.
Right.
So I learned a lot more off them because I could hear what was going on. I couldn't hear it. It was difficult. I remember with Creedence, when I met D. Boone, that's all he knew. And, I can hear it nowadays, but in those days, I couldn't tell what that guy was playing, Stu Cook. I could. So I started wearing John Fogerty's shirts. I thought, man, maybe D. Boone will like me if I wear the shirts. Because I can't tell what the fuck this guy's... I didn't know what a bass was. See, I came around bass really weird. His ma, I was told to play it. But coming from arena rock, we didn't really know what it was. We were too far away and never saw one up close. So I played a guitar for the first couple of years with four strings.
Right.
But, okay, so how did you get over this thing of trying to find out what the fucking bass was doing?
Well, having a teacher helped.
Yeah, because he could tell you because he's a bass man.
Yeah. He could pick it out and tell me what was what. Which was nice. And so could my dad. I think credit goes to my dad because he had me hearing stuff like, Jaco Pastorius and Tower of Power and the Motown stuff and the things where he could point out and say, there's the bass, this is what it's doing, and it kind of gave me an idea of where it sat, even though those people were maybe doing kind of a non-traditional
Jaco Confused, Top Power,
all that kind of stuff.
What's his name? God, he just had some sickness he got over.
Oh, Rocco?
Rocco.
Yeah.
Yeah, great bass player.
Yeah, he's one of my
guys. They're probably a little more out. I think both those guys took from Jamerson and took it a little further
Sure.
out there. Jaco kind of he kind of took something from those English guys too, because he kind of played lead.
Right.
Wild ass stuff. And the fretless thing.
Right.
So, okay, so your pop helped out because he's hipping you to these techniques these cats are doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it kind of, you know, gave me an idea of what the instrument was, which was helpful. And then, you know, by the time...
Oh, you got your own. You're not borrowing anymore.
I got my own. I got a G&L by that point.
A G&L?
A G&L.
Leo's second company.
You bet.
What kind of amp?
An acoustic.
Wow. Yeah. What, the blue and black ones? Or the tan ones?
No, it was blue and black.
Okay.
But it was kind of like a lower end one, I think. But, that...
Double nickels on the dime. I used, like their bi-amp.
Really?
There was this thing called bi-amp where you'd have an amp for the high end and one for the low end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
15s and 12.
So you used on
that? Yeah, I got that thing. That's what I used. But I don't think Ethan used it. Ethan James only took the direct out of... I had EMG pickups.
Uh-huh. Oh, so...
And I think he took it right out of the bass.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm pretty sure he didn't even mic the thing. It was only an 8-track Atari. Half the tracks had to go to the drums.
Yeah. Right.
So, okay... What about the guys you're playing with? They're your age, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
What, were they getting hip to anything, or were you kind of the meister?
No. They knew the stuff.
They
knew stuff, too. Yeah, you know, muso guys, kind of.
Oh, really?
Young muso guys, you know. So we were like, you know, we knew about stuff like Rush and Yes and all that kind of stuff, too, you know.
Okay.
By the time I was playing.
You're in high school.
No, this is still junior high.
Still in junior high. Wow.
I was going to say, you know, that lasted for a minute, and then, you know, the stuff with the bass right up front that was kind of current came in, like Jane's Addiction and Chili Peppers and Fishbone from Norwalk. Yeah. You know.
And then Primus Les.
Yeah.
Big bass.
Yep.
No, I mean, these punk guys really turned... bass around in a lot of ways, I think, for younger players, because before that it was like, yeah, this is right field and low league, and now all of a sudden, and like, it was guitar players looking for gigs a lot of times.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you had guys who wanted to learn on bass first.
Yep.
With those guys.
Yeah, I was one of those guys. Still don't know how to play guitar very good.
So, but you know, in the old days, that's all it was guys double dipping. I think even Carol Kay and stuff was a guitar player.
Oh, yeah, she was.
And then came out. You know, because nobody else wanted to rock it.
Mm-hmm.
I think a pure bass guy is Jamerson. But he comes from the stand-up.
Right.
That's why he played with one finger.
Yeah, a lot of those guys.
Okay, when do you start composing?
I guess that would have been high school. And I actually have a story I was thinking about on my way here. On the drive. I might hijack this for just a minute. First band I was in that we made our own tunes. It's in high school. And... it was later, you know, it was like maybe when I was, 17 or something, 16.
Yeah, 11th grade.
Yeah, and we started doing our own tunes, and the first tune we wrote, I remember this vividly, we were really inspired by Felt Like a Gringo on Ballot Result.
Ballot Result one.
The Ballot Result version.
Yeah.
And we listened to that a lot, and first tune we wrote, we kind of emulated that.
Oh, wow.
So
what was his band called?
It was called Roosevelt Franklin. And the reason this came to my mind was because the drummer, his name's Colby Stark, he's a dear friend and, you know, a brother. Still drumming.
Right.
There were two cats who I kind of like spent my late high school and college kind of years or whatever with. It was my friend Rob and my friend Colby. And we bonded a lot over Minutemen and Firehose.
Oh, wow.
And Ball Hog.
Okay.
And that. And we went to a lot of gigs and, you know, really spent a lot of time on it. My friend Rob was my roommate. He was a bass player. We used to have a thing called a fictional gang or club we called the BPA. It didn't mean anything. Really, but we always had this vision of having the BPA club, and it was Bass Players Association.
Oh, wow.
And you were the honorary president.
I was the president. Oh, wow.
And I just wanted to say that because I think Rob would be really tickled that I'm here doing this.
Who's the Nebraska guy? I think he's Omaha, right? Peanut?
Peanut was there, yeah.
Is he Nebraska?
Yeah. We used to see him all the time.
He's kind of Flea, Les Claypool style.
Uh-huh. That's where he came from.
Incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Funker.
Yeah, there are a lot of good
Norwood, that school.
Yeah, there were a lot of good guys at that time.
Jesus.
I wanted to say that, you know, my friend Rob, he just got married last weekend. I wasn't able to make it. So I just wanted to... I'm sure he's listening to this.
Okay.
Wanted to give him, you know, a big congratulations.
Congrats.
from Watt's, you know, living room.
Yeah. Okay, let's play some music you've got.
Okay.
Watt for Pedro show. Jonathan, you want to tell the folks what we just heard?
Well, we just heard...
This is all stuff with you on bass.
We just heard Evie Kane, which is...
well, we started the chunk
started,
off
started the chunk. Should I go backwards? Man, that'd be better. Last thing we heard was was a song I recorded with Zach Hill, the drummer of Hella and Death Grips and a lot of things, a few years back for his solo record. And I really like that tune.
What's it called?
It's called Keep Calm and Carry On.
Okay, before that?
We had Ruler, which is a song by Marnie Stern, which Zach produced and played drums on. And I played bass on and loved
both
that
these
tune.
People are Sacktown.
Marnie's more, she's East Coast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's from New York City.
Did she transplant or... Because everybody goes out there to play with her.
Yeah, okay. Everyone just goes to SAC.
Okay.
it's his place, you know.
Yeah.
It's his nest.
But he ain't going out to New York City, right? She's coming to SAC.
I don't think he. She's going to SAC. He's got it all dialed in for himself out there. So, kind of the mayor of SAC at this point, seems like.
Ahead of that?
Ahead of that was the Flying Luttenbachers, band I was in Chicago.
Yeah.
With Weasel Walter.
Right.
And
I think he's going to record with Laskovich, Scarcity of Tanks. And
oh, yeah.
I think he's doing the bass, which might be happening because when I did the Scarcity of Tanks gig with him on drums, that cat wouldn't keep one thing going. He was far from grooving. He's interesting. He's been around, too.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. No, He's serious.
And that band
it.
Is wild. Oh, I remember the.
That's some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
That was kind of my schooling, you know. It's like I learned probably more in that band than anything I've ever done.
Okay.
Most intense.
And what was ahead of that?
A band from kind of the same era.
Yeah.
My Name is Rar Rar. Kind of a no-wave thing from Chicago, which I played the synth bass in.
Whoa.
Kind of weird, those old
keyboard?
Roland. No, the Roland.
Oh, something you touch.
Those weird things.
Yeah.
Like the space age looking things.
They still had strings, but it made synthesizers.
Yeah, it went to a floorboard.
Yeah,
I've made all kinds of weird stuff. And then.
Hounds?
Hounds is that, the name of that track.
And we started with?
With Yes, No, Maybe, or Say Maybe, one of those.
Say Maybe. Evie Kane.
Evie Kane, brand new band. That's not even out. Just recorded it.
Right.
Just record it. So this is its debut.
Well, okay. And we got some other new stuff, too. You got, like, Dodd Hacker, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, let's get back to your story. You're in Nebraska, playing in high school, writing your first songs in Roosevelt Franklin.
Yep.
You were playing gigs.
Playing gigs. Put out a record of our own.
What was your first gig like?
First gig with them was... At a
was it scary?
Like a community center.
Yeah.
It was a big gig with, you know, like six bands or something, and it was, you know, $3 and a can of food or whatever, and punk rock, and it was great. Yeah. It might have been with 311 of all people.
Really?
Oddly.
And then you guys made an album. You recorded there in Lincoln.
Wow. My band lasted a couple of years, and it was, you know, great.
Was that your first recording? Was with them?
I'd done a couple little things. There'd been a couple of things before that, but that was the first, like, time spent in the studio really working on it.
Wow. Did you guys tour?
A little bit, just around.
The plains?
You know, the
Midwest?
A little bit. Not much.
And so, now it's hard for people, I know from being around on the West Coast and the East Coast, they don't understand about Chicago. But if you're in the middle of the country, that's the big town. It's not New York City. It's not Los Angeles.
Right.
It's Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this a few times on the show, but people on the coast think Chicago's this little thing, but it's a big daddy. They call her Big Shoulders. I mean, she's... And if you're in the Midwest, that's where you're aiming your sights. That's the close one. I know, because that's what my ma did back in the middle 50s. So, and it's been like kind of a... Yeah, if you want to leave the little town... That's the next big town if you're in the Midwest.
Right.
And they got a huge, healthy scene. Lots of stuff going on. It's not Bergville. Chicago's very... I know, but I talk to people that are oblivious, have never been there, and they have this kind of ideas. They don't understand Chicago's a big town.
Yeah, Chicago and Minneapolis are always happening.
Minneapolis. Yeah. Well, yeah, with the punk scene, especially a music thing came on in Minneapolis. It was a mill town in the older days. I have buddies there, and they told me. So anyway, you're going to make the big move, right, from Lincoln to Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was in your mind?
Well, I did it to play with some of the people I ended up playing with, like the Flying Moonbuckers.
Because what, like Lincoln's only got so many people playing.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's a great place.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that town. But it was just kind of just time to try something else, you know.
It's like Pedro, but with a lot of space around. We're butted up next to Wilmington. Ocean of grain.
Yeah.
Corn.
Exactly.
But as far as people's, like if I was always just playing in Pedro, that'd be tough. Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
If Hollywood wasn't 30 miles.
Right.
Or here in SoCal, we got so many. You take it for granted. And people wonder about living in a small town, and there are great things about it, but especially when you're younger and you're trying to develop, I think, expression, an art thing, you got to check out some other people doing it too.
Right, right. And, you know, it felt kind of, insulated because we hadn't figured out, or I hadn't figured out, I wasn't in a group of people who'd figured out the idea of getting out and doing the touring yet, you know, the way that
you guys
do
only
it.
Did a little bit.
We just did a little bit. We didn't
like
figure
Kansas
out that.
Kansas or Iowa. Or,
yeah, and we didn't figure out that, you know, how to invest and how to make it work yet, you know. Yeah. So it seemed insulating.
Well, you're pretty young. You're coming out of high school.
Yeah.
College.
This was probably probably in my early 20s.
Okay.
By then. But I wanted to, it was more about maybe a musical choice too, because a lot of the groups and the music I liked was in Chicago. I really liked, you know, some of the strange stuff that was happening at the time. That stuff was cool, and I also loved
Tortoise,
those guys, and U.S. Maple,
U.S. Maple,
Drag City,
Sweeney,
Matt Sweeney.
Yeah, right. Was he in that?
He was not, but he was around. I mean, he was doing stuff. But
they're trippy. I remember U.S. Maple.
They're one of my favorite bands of all time, you know. And there was Bobby Kahn, and there was Cheer Accident. I don't know if you know those cats.
Yeah.
They're great.
And wow.
Yeah, all these people were doing stuff.
And how'd you know about them? Because they'd come by and play. They toured.
They did. Yeah. They did. And there was just some really intense musicians, some really intense bass players at that time coming from that area. There was Trenchmouth.
Yeah.
Remember that band?
Yeah, yeah.
Just ripping bass player.
Who was
that
guy?
Wayne. His name.
Yeah, that guy was blazer.
And there was...
I think Corey, the Necro guy, was running Touch and Go.
Mm-hmm.
Necro bass man. Valmy. I think he's from Ohio.
And then there was the Dazzling Kilmet.
Oh.
With Darren.
He yeah, yeah.
Crazy.
So this is what you want to find out
what
this is about.
That made sense to me, you know.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So I split and went to Chicago to do that, and I did it. I played with the Luttenbachers and all these people. So it was
what was it like going from a big town to a big dealio? Was
big
it tough? Was it intense?
Yeah.
I can imagine.
It was amazing because these people were my heroes, you know?
Yeah.
So
when
I'd see them, I was starstruck almost.
Yeah.
Just hanging out at the gig or whatever, and or at the bar or something, and just going, wow, there's Weasel Walter.
Brown Jacks.
Yeah.
He's at the club.
Yeah.
Bar.
So it seemed like a good place for me, and it was.
Yeah.
Empty Bottle. Fireside Bowl.
Yeah.
Went there a lot.
Wow.
And there was also a lot of free improvised music happening.
Yeah.
Like Kim Vandermark and some of these either free improvisation or free jazz guys. And that was really inspiring. Went to a lot of those gigs.
Who's the guitar man? Jeff?
Jeff Parker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Parker.
Yeah.
Great musician.
Sure.
I really like him.
Yeah, he's great. They're all, I mean, that whole thing was great at the time. I think
so how long did you spend there?
Boy, 7 or 8 years? 7 years?
Seven years.
Yeah.
And then what?
Then,
what were you thinking?
My friends in Hella called.
Okay.
Wanted to go on tour and asked me to to go out and check.
This is when they were expanding their band.
Yeah, their first expansion.
Yeah.
So they need a couple extra people to
expanders.
help do it. And so I spent a year on the road with those guys. And that was an experience too.
And then, so you move. You actually move though.
Yeah. Well, I kind of left my stuff in Chicago for a while, and then about halfway through, figured, you know, I'm probably not going to come back here because it seems pretty fun out on the west right now.
Yeah.
So that's what I did, and I just kind of landed up north in Nevada City, where we were talking about.
Which might seem like nowhere to somebody looking at a map, but it's very close to Sactown and the Hella guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's why.
Yeah, that's where they were at that point. They'd kind of moved operation up to Nevada City, which is a small place, but really charming and nice.
Where are the Taramelos guys? They're kind of from...
Yeah, they're from up there, too.
Right.
Right there. Sacramento and Auburn, Grass Valley.
Whole, okay.
They're right in the middle of that, too.
I was playing there in the old days at a place called, and it was by the university in Sactown, called Bojangles or Cattle Club. It had different
Cattle Club,
I think during the daytime it was Bojangles. It was a gay bar for older guys.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. There'd be these guys in their 60s and not all flashy dress. You wouldn't know them for anything, but if you listen to the talk, it'd be like, whoa. But yeah, and then at nighttime, Brian McKenna was the cat, and he'd come in and we'd do these gigs. Those are my first regular ones I started doing, maybe early 90s.
Okay.
And I play it all the time. Brian still does my gigs.
Yeah, that's what he said. He told me he has your amp.
He bought a bass amp from big ass heavy thing, and it's a trippy kind. And it's got a 15 on each side pointing opposite directions. That's something Ampeg came up with.
Huh.
Well, bass is kind of omnidirectional, so if you're in a smaller club, it would bounce it off the walls and shit.
Did it work?
It was too heavy for me, man. I mean, that thing must have weighed. And then we got it with the Crown amp with it and stuff, you know. It's a younger man's.
amps are younger.
I'm rocking these things. David Eden now has these 210s that weigh only 50 pounds each. And that's... And they're, 700-watt boxes and just 50 pounds, so...
That sounds like
that's what I do for...
The right ticket.
Especially in the state with my knee. Okay, so you move there and start, and you're touring with them for a year.
Yeah.
And what are you, like, early 30s now? At that point.
Oh, I was going to say. Do I look that young? No. Yeah.
You do look that young, but at that point.
I guess it was, I was maybe 30. Something like that.
So, after you do that year of touring, but you're going to decide, I want to live here now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to...
Did they
want to go further? They did go further, because me and Pettibone saw the 5-man version. That was without you.
Right, yeah, I wasn't in it.
Now they're back to 2.
Yeah, they went back to 2 for a minute, and then they went to 5, and then they went back to... They're just trying all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if they have a 15-piece next time.
A poly-free...
Yeah, right?
Kind of band.
They all come out in robes.
Bathrobes. 500 drummers in bathrobes.
Okay. I like that idea.
So,
pitch that.
As they're doing that, what are you doing?
Are
you still on that GNL?
No.
You got another bass where? Chicago?
GNL ages ago, yeah.
You got another GNL. One in Chicago?
Oh, yeah, I had a bunch by then, probably. I'm trying to think. I was playing that synth bass by then, most of the time.
Really?
Yeah.
In Hella?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, which is, it's just such a bizarre thing.
And for amps, you could still use that acoustic?
No, the acoustic went away early too.
Oh,
I changed to an Ampeg for a long time.
SVT.
No, just the light one, like a rack.
SVT3 or
I think it was a 3.
Yeah,
and I had that for ages and ages, and then switched.
What was the box?
Just like a crate.
215
something, yeah. And or a 410 for a while, and then
1410.
I think it was 1410, and then for a while I had the 410 and a 15.
Yeah.
You know. Then I switched, around Hella, I switched to this kind of weird English kind of high-end thing called Phil Jones. amps.
Oh yeah, I've heard of those.
Little tiny speakers.
Little speakers.
Little guys. And
many of them though.
A bunch. And then it has these ports and it's a full range thing. So I figured that'd be cool for the synth stuff because I was not just playing bass frequencies. I was all over the place. So I figured that could cover it all.
Yeah.
And now I use Aguilar stuff, which I really like.
It's got an Aguilar preamp.
Oh yeah?
And my Moonbase has an Aguilar onboard preamp. But I've got that, what's it called, 680? Two-space rack thing, all tube.
Yeah. Oh, the Big Daddy one.
Okay, it's got no power amps, just preamp. Kay used it for recording the last Dose album.
Okay.
It's good sounding, good stuff out of them.
Yeah, I really like their stuff. Really happy with it. I'm looking at some of their lightweight stuff now, too, because my back isn't what it used to be.
Man. So, back to A Year Torn with Hella and Sacktown. What's next for you music-wise?
Just working out stuff up there, you know, with friends and trying different stuff.
Yeah.
Just playing a lot.
Because I meet you, you're playing in this band, Butcherettes.
Yeah, that's been more recent.
Okay, so what happened between the Butcherettes?
I was up north for a few years doing stuff, and then my friend Josh, who I'm sure you know from, who's in the Chili Peppers now.
He's been on the show.
He came
John
on the
Frusciante
show, right?
Brought him on the show.
Yeah.
To say he was bailing and Josh was taking over. Yeah. Josh helped him a lot on the solo records. He told
he's
at the Love Grotto with Brother Matt. He brought him over and then it was just kind of like, wow. Bye, I'm leaving now.
That's crazy stuff.
Yeah. But, so you start playing with Josh.
Start playing with Josh. He became a friend during the Hella stuff because he knew those guys and he'd show up and hang out and we got to be friends.
But he lives down here, right?
He lives down here.
Valley, maybe.
He used to. Now he lives in El Sereno.
El Sereno, okay.
Yeah. But he called and just said, hey, you should come down and play a little bit. I'm working on some stuff with some friends and check it out. And so I did.
Leave Sacktown, go to SoCal.
Yeah, I just came down for a few times just to see what happened. And it went well enough for me to move down here and try it. And that's when we started that Dot Hacker band.
Dot Hacker.
And that got me here. So
we're going to play some Dot Hacker, right?
Yeah. It's in the next slot.
It's the beginning of the second hour. In fact, we're kind of at the end of the first hour here. In between Josh and Hella, you just some stuff up there, and then you come down here, and it's a Dot Hacker. So we'll pick it up from there.
Okay.
It's first hour, June 7, 2012, edition of Watt for Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two. June 7, 2012, it's second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
apples and oranges. Apples and oranges high in the tree. I'll pick some for me. Apples and oranges.
Apples, oranges,
orange and red hang high overhead, so high and so far, far away, far from the blood, so far from the gun and the dark red.
Apples, oranges, apples, oranges,
reach high above and pick them, my love, while I fly so far, far away, facing the ground. An orange, apples, and oranges, orange and red, alive overhead,
apples and orange. Apples and oranges, pick them for me, because I am dead.
Second hour, some stuff Jonathan's on, like Damsel with Space Needle, which also had Zach from Hella.
Yeah.
Nels Klein.
Nels Klein.
How'd that happen?
Well, I knew Nels a little bit just from having played gigs with him, not, you know, like...
Share the bill.
Like, yeah, the singers would be on something and with the Luttenbachers or... something, you know, back then, and
Yeah.
We just kind of stayed in touch, and I remember seeing that he was going to be in Chicago with Wilco, his early Wilco, you know, first
when he joined.
First year or so, yeah.
I think he joined in 2004.
Yeah, and that was recorded, that Damsel was recorded in 2004, so that's makes sense. And, yeah, I saw he was going to be in town for a few days, and so I just tried to get something together, and he responded. He did it.
Yeah, he's way up to improvise things. He ain't afraid of it at all.
Not at all. I knew Zach would have, you know, was a huge fan and would be into it, so I called him too. And
he just so happened to be in Chicago.
I got Zach out.
You got him.
I think he had some frequent flyer miles, so he flew out for it just to do it. And then
yeah,
my buddy.
Where was it at?
I don't know. We went into a studio. I feel terrible for not remembering the name of the studio. It was in this building called Odom. And we just recorded it in one day. We just went in and made a bunch of a racket. And I remember it was the day after the second election, the presidential election, the second time Bush won, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, or got appointed or whatever you want to say.
Yeah, I think... I was out on tour then too.
Yeah,
with my second man.
Right, and we you know, the election was one day. We recorded the next day, and it was still up in the air as to who won. And I think we found out that day while we were doing it that Bush was the guy.
Mr. Kerry said,
and so it,
I let go.
So it came very. There was a definite vibe to those sessions because we were also, you know, distraught about that news.
No,
that's what I remember from that.
That's that Gore. Gore's the first one?
Gore was the first one, Kerry. Yeah, Gore was the one that dragged on forever.
Right.
And
okay.
Kerry was
my memory's bad, too. Then we heard Puncture by Dot Hacker. Now, Dot Hacker's this band you start when you come down to SoCal.
Yep.
Josh. And we get to play next week.
Yeah.
Right?
Excited about that.
You can play at, it's not called Spaceland anymore. It's a satellite.
Satellite.
Yeah. Then we heard Fetch the Water by Minute Flag. This was a weird kind of throw together thing with, I think Flag was at the end. They had just recorded Loose Nut and In My Head. And they made time for us and we came in there and all seven of us?
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah, all seven of us played together. We did four tunes, and one of them had singing, this one, D. Boone and Henry. I remember D. Boone giving Henry the words, and I think he yells Arriba or some shit. Yeah. I think it's probably the only time Hank Rollins is hollering Arriba or something. Then Apples and Oranges by Richard Dawson. Richard Dawson just passed away. He was Newkirk? Hogan's Heroes, and then later on some kind of game show guy, yeah. But he did this song in '67. I think it's the same time Pink Floyd had one called Apples and Oranges too with Syd Barrett. And then we heard Bob Pollard. He's got a new solo album, Smacks of Euphoria is the tune. And I just got a word from his manager, Mr. David Newgarten. He's got a new Guided by Voices album.
What?
He just had one a few months ago, I know,
say.
But a new one is coming. He said, this guy can write songs.
I know.
I mean, actually, I know there's subtle differences because he sent me the Boston Spaceships too, but they all sound like Bob Pollard.
I know. Good thing he's good at being Bob Pollard, right?
Man, he sings kind of English, though, his accent a little bit.
Yeah.
Dayton, far.
Far from it, though.
Far western. England,
yeah, exactly.
Far West England, way over in Dayton. Okay, so Dot Hacker, what you guys started? But first you wrote a batch of tunes, and then you started doing gigs.
Yeah, a little bit. We did a few gigs, not too many. We've never done that many because
really
everyone's real busy with other things.
So it was mainly just a proj.
Well, it was always meant to be a band, but you know he got invited to join the Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
And so that kind of changed
well,
the
then
plans
when
a little
the
bit.
Butcherette thing happened.
That was just last year.
Yeah.
And, that was she needed some people to tour with. And so she
and before doing this, you're waiting around for Josh to have some time at the Dot Hacker, or were you playing
other
stuff too?
Oh, no, I was doing other stuff too. I was in this band called Broken Bells.
Broken Bells.
Which is singer of the Shins,
mm-hmm.
and Danger Mouse, that producer.
But I thought he was up in Portland.
Is that James?
The Shin guy, right?
Yeah. He did this project.
Actually, I think they were Berkey.
Yeah, that's where they started.
I think so. Yep. And I met the Danger Mouse guy in Roskilde. What's that festival in Denmark?
Yeah, I think that's what it's
where
called.
I met him with the Stooges. He has about 10 million projects going.
Oh, yeah. He's working on the new U2 record.
That's is that right?
Yeah,
he's got so much stuff going on.
Yeah.
That CeeLo thing, man, that guy could sing. That was a good project he had.
Yeah, I love that one.
What was that?
Gnarls Barkley.
Gnarls Barkley.
Yeah. That's what the other guys from Bot Hacker were all in Gnarls Barkley, too.
That's right. Yeah. Wow. Oh, why? For touring?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that band, Bot Hacker's full of people who are just busy doing all kinds of stuff.
They were like sidemen kind.
Yeah. Wow. The drummer Eric plays with Tom Morello and Charlotte Gainsbourg.
The Night Watch?
Mm-hmm. He's
okay.
in that. He helps him on that. Plays
I
with
think
Wayne
I played
Kramer.
With him. Oh,
you'll
really?
Probably, you'll probably have played with him, Eric. He's great.
Brother Wayne Kramer told me he was just playing with Marianne Faithfull.
What?
Yeah. Let's hear some more music.
My hands are as sticky, and possibly even as clammy as my pits, and my face is kind of tight, like a fucking clammy sponge, and I feel like a clammy towel, and I'm going to go to one of those good places and get some goodness, and if it's clammy, I'm going to kick something, really. I'm going to break a lot of shit.
For Pedro show, and we're playing some stuff that I'm on. Well, with the Minute Flag, I was on that. There's two basses. That's me and Kay.
Right.
I think Georgie played Bean Can. That can with beans in it. Started off with Force Conspiring, a new song from the Hand to Man band. At their debut album comes out in a week. The guitar man is John Dietrich. From Deerhoof. Not original Deerhoofer, but he's been with him a while now.
He's been
now.
With him for a long time now.
And now they got Ed Two on guitar. Pretty wild. I mean, the guy. And yeah. This was a trippy project. There's also a drummer man named Tim Barnes.
He's amazing as well.
Lives in Louisville. Yeah. Yeah, I got to talk with him. He was originally from SoCal and then New York City. Then, yeah, been around.
Tim, really?
Playing with a lot of cats, yeah. And then the piano man is. I know Donald McDonough's, who I think is from the Bay Area, but I guess him, the piano man and guitar, got together and made a duet album. So they said, let's try one with more. And let's ask why. This is kind of like what you did, I think, in Damsel. How'd you come up with that name?
Damsel?
Yeah.
That was Nell's, 100%. Okay. Came up with that name.
Damsel's in Distress. Okay.
Yeah.
The name of the record is In Distress. Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, eventually this became the Hand to Man band, but it wasn't that at first. It was just this idea of don't have tunes and just come up in 3 days. It was in between Stooges Tour Lake, so I went early to Austin and spent 3 days with these guys in the summer of 2010. And, yeah, whatever happened, right? Just
so
what'd you call yours?
Created like just out of the time, like you just had three.
Never played with these guys before.
How was that?
They rented me a bass, a Fender bass, P bass, and an amp, and got some drums for Tim, and we just went at it. And then John went and mixed it. Him and Tholem edited it, and then he mixed it. I think a lot of creativity went into that too, because they had a lot of stuff to choose from. And
sure.
Tributes. Once I was involved with something like that with Saccharine Trust. There's an album called World Broken, I think 1984. And their bass player teared out when do the gig. So come on, Watt. Oh. It's the same thing. You just start jamming around. And then at the end of the day or the end of the thing, go and pluck things that are happening.
Is that how Bootstrappers came too?
That's Elliot.
Yeah.
I think that's all Elliot. Oh. The same idea. I think he just had me and Georgie Whalen with him. I played a little Asbury bass that had rubber band strings.
I have one of those things.
Tacum Potter on, right, because they stick.
Yeah, these things are weird. I have one of those, too. Yeah.
Then we heard Ghazal, which has got your buddy Christian, my buddy, too. Uh-huh. And actually, Cedric's on it, too, and some lady from San Francisco. But
yeah, Rachel.
Rachel,
she's
right.
Great.
She does some singing.
Mm-hmm.
But this track you just heard, it's all of Christian. It's him doing this 12-string kind of trip. I didn't know Cedric. When he flowed me the thing to put the bass on, I didn't know who the drummer... I thought... Because I did an interview with him. I had him come to Pedro, and he told me he was a drummer from Florida. I thought, actually, he did the drums. I found out after. No, this is Cedric.
Christian Ripp.
I didn't know he was a drummer. You know, I just knew him as singer, man, and at the drive-in, you know.
Yeah, he's a great drummer.
It blew my mind.
Groovy drummer.
And then Frantic by Dose. 26 years now we've had this band.
Is that off the new Dose?
Yeah, the new Dose.
I haven't heard that yet.
Yeah, let me give it to you. Then Chowder Anyone off the new Spielgusher record with Richard Meltzer.
Yep.
And Here you go.
All right, thank you. God, you've been
okay,
busy.
Okay, so what kind of side things were you doing while you were waiting for this other opportunity to come?
Which
you didn't know it was coming, right?
I never know what's coming.
Yeah. Well, you didn't know about the La Butcherettes. It just...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I knew Kathy at Sergeant House.
They've got a lot of wild records, man.
She does a great job with them. She, like, has a good... She's really doing a good thing with that. You know?
I got to have her on the show because I wonder what the story of that label is. It's a trip.
You should talk to her about that.
Yeah.
It's interesting. She's an interesting lady.
And the Axie sign, and it's actually, I've gotten to be friends with a lot of those people.
Yeah.
Mary Hatton.
Yeah, you know the Adebisi Shanks and the...
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's how I met.
Oh, that's who you're talking about.
Caramelos.
Right.
Right.
Love them.
Yeah, let's listen to some now. Here's some Bygones.
Yeah.
from Pedro Show. Play some Sergeant House stuff. You just heard, yeah, probably the best band name ever, Face Tat.
Oh, that's Zach.
That's Zach, too?
That's Zach Hill.
With Green Bricks. It sounds like Green Bricks. Ahead of that was Kid Life Crisis, Ella, okay. Zach. Out of BC Shank, my buddies from Ireland. I don't know how you say this name. It's like open parentheses, hyphen, underscore, hyphen, close parentheses. It looks like a face, okay? And ahead of that, Tara Melos, Party with Tina. They're on tour in Europe. See them if you can before they get done with that. And Jonathan been just talking about those guys. And we start off with Click on That, Smash the Plastic Death by Bygones, which is a proj with Zach, Ken, and Nick Reinhardt, who's going to do something called Big Walnuts Yonder with Greg from Deerhoof, Nels Klein, and myself, as soon as we get some time to fit it in.
Like I said, my favorite band. Haven't played one note. It's already my favorite band.
And it's a trip, you know. Nick agreed to. I said, "What if I write the things on the bass?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Whoa, I've never done it that way." Said, well, maybe that's a good way to try and do it. You ever compose that way?
Oh yeah.
Just on the bass. Yeah. Oh yeah, like you said, you don't play guitar much, but you can do piano.
A little bit.
Mingus composed on piano.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the second hour. We'll get more into the composing because I'm interested in your ideas about that. We're at the end of the second hour. June 7, 2012, Dish Wap Pedro Show. Hold tight. I'm here with Jonathan. Hour 3 coming up. June 7, 2012. It's the third hour of the Wap from Pedro Show.
Holding my wanton pride, can't up and down till I.
Pedro Show started the third hour off with bass player band. Juan, right? Juan. Big Sir.
Yeah, Big Sir. I played
with
on
Infidels.
That. I don't know if I played on that song, but I played with him. I've played with him.
He just floated to me. It's a Sergeant House thing.
Yeah.
And then something called Russian Circles. I think they're Seattle.
They are Chicago.
Oh, they're Chicago?
And the bass player is from Portland or Seattle. He was in Botch.
Okay. When the Mountain Comes to Muhammad.
Yeah, they're
and then Fang after that. Wings of Fang.
Fang.
Yeah, they're used to the San Francisco Fang in the old days.
Yeah.
I don't think this has anything to do with that.
There's a lot of Fang.
Miniman played with them. And then Life Coach by Fang Island.
Okay, that's what I was going to say.
Are they related?
I doubt it. I don't know.
But they're both Sergeant House.
Is it Red Fang? Is that the first Fang you said? Because that's a Sergeant House, or was a Sergeant House thing. Fang. Red Fang.
It was Red Fang, and
maybe,
not just Fang?
I don't know.
Okay.
Fang Island, for sure, is a Sergeant House one.
And, well, I got him. She gave me a sack full of shit. And then we heard Shipwreck by Nice Sharp Pencils. You would dig this bass bit.
Yeah, I don't know them.
You know them?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. They're from England, up by Leeds in the middle part. And his name is Ben, man, and he's a bad bass player. And he sings, too, and it's just the bass and drum, and he sings.
Oh, cool.
And I got to, you know, I've been playing his songs a lot on my show, and he put on a gig, man, at a working man's club, someplace called Sourberry Bridge, you know.
Uh-huh.
It was a trip, like wow. Halifax and Leeds up there. And I turned on, you know, I was given an option of a London gig or that gig. I said, I'm going to take this gig.
Take that gig, for sure.
He's a great cat. Great cat. So, the Dot Hacker people, well, maybe it's kind of this dilemma we have with Greg Nels and Nick. It's hard for you guys all to be in the...
It is. It
okay.
Is. Yeah. So, it doesn't move as quickly as I think we'd like it to, but...
But in the meantime, you got a call that some lady needs a bass and drum.
Right.
Who's the drum man?
It was Gabe. Yeah, and
Locust.
I've known him for, you know, 12 years or something.
San Diego or something.
Uh-huh. And so it was a real pleasure to be asked to do that.
I heard he was going to join Zoo.
He was going to.
Wow.
I think he did Butcherettes instead, maybe, or did
Yeah, and then some of the Zoo guys went to Red...
Beat Red,
some kind of dance thing, because Dennis from The Refuse is in the band, too.
Yeah.
It's trippy.
It's
but
trippy.
Jacopo, the drummer man. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, he was real excited about that Zoo thing. I don't know. Maybe that's still going to happen. I don't know. I haven't heard about it for a while.
But you got this call here. This lady needs a band.
Yeah, Terry. I got to be friends with Terry.
Yeah.
And she just eventually asked me to do it. I think... We were friends first, and she started playing with Gabe, and then she just asked me one day if I wanted to come jam, and I said, of course.
Yeah, and I got to play with you guys.
Yeah, a couple of times.
Because you opened up for the first time I did the opera here.
Yeah, and then,
Echo.
And then you did our CD release party.
Yeah,
which was really
in K-Town at the Bootleg Theater.
Uh-huh.
Do you know some of these others? RX Bandits?
Yeah, I know those
guys.
These
arms are snakes.
Yep.
Native. Well, here, let's play some now.
Thank you.
You know these bands here. You read them. Or go backwards.
Okay. The last thing we heard was Daily News by Maps and Atlases, who are one of my favorite bands.
That record is wild, man.
Oh, they're so good.
I love that. Where are they from?
They're from Chicago.
Are there gigs like the albums?
Yeah, they're real. Yeah, I mean, maybe not just like the albums, but enough so that you're impressed by how close it is. I mean, I really like them. I've played some gigs with them and watched them a lot, and I really appreciate what they do.
They're still together?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, they're on tour right now.
Oh, great.
All over the place. So
go see them, people.
Check out Maps and Atlases. Before that was Native, who are from Indiana. And they're young guys, too. Young kids. I remember meeting them, and I think they were still teenagers a few years ago.
Indianapolis? Big town?
Bloomington? Yeah, I think so. I can't remember where they're from. I just remember they're
Gary,
Indiana,
like
Indiana, and you know they spend a lot of time in
Chicago.
In Chicago, right. Yeah. That's Gary, right. Maybe they're from Gary. I don't know.
Right there.
Let's see. These Arms Are Snakes were before that.
Yeah.
That has the bass player from Russian
Circles.
Oh, we
should say the name of the tunes.
Oh, Prince Squid was the name of that song.
Yeah.
And they're not a band anymore, but they were great.
Oh, they broke up?
They broke up. Bass player went to Russian Circles.
Oh.
And they have a new band, a couple of the other guys from that band, I think Kathy's putting out. I can't remember what it's called, though. I just heard about it. And before that was 1 Million Miles an Hour Fast Asleep by RX Bandits. I think are Long Beach.
Really?
I think so.
Wow. Okay.
Sounds right.
Locals. I don't even know.
They're nearby.
So, Kathy, she don't... It's not where you're from. It's where you're at.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's a great thing. So you guys started... What about that album? Sin?
Oh, yeah. That was done before I was around for it.
That's done before?
Yeah, that was... Because
those are the songs you were doing when we played with you.
Yeah, sure was. We learned those. And that record was made by Terry and a drummer from Mexico. And Omar Rodriguez produced it and played bass. And he's back doing...
Right, and they had a lady on drums.
Yeah.
At the Stooges gig.
She's really great.
Where's she from?
She's from...
Was she in another band?
Here. Yeah, she's been in a couple of bands.
Yeah.
And
she's still familiar.
In a few bands. And she's really great. She's really young. I think she's 20, 21.
Wow.
And she's lovely and great, great player. I mean, she's...
Did you guys
really
ever go in the studio?
No.
You just did gigs?
No, just did gigs.
Okay.
Yeah. Gigs and tours.
It was a much different style for Gabe.
Oh, yeah.
But he can probably play anything.
Yeah, he...
I got to jam with him once. Some guy from San Francisco brought me there to make some noise.
Oh, really?
And it was, yeah, they had a trippy name. And his girlfriend and a buddy of theirs, and, you know, it was... And this cat was on the drums.
Yeah.
He wasn't wearing the outfit or anything.
Oh, that's too bad.
But I got to play with him again, you know, at the Echo. I didn't know about you guys. I had no idea. I always try to see the opening bands if I can. If I ain't caught in a boat.
Right.
Toward stuff, because I do the driving and I got a fucking car. But if I can, I always see the bands. I saw you guys. It was like, wow. You know,
yeah.
Played really well with him and both of you guys with her.
Yeah, we really had a good time with that.
Yeah.
I miss it.
And then from then, that's where you hooked up with these other prods, like the brand new band Kate, we heard at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, Evie Kane.
Evie Kane.
Yeah, those are old friends, but we just kind of got that going recently. And
let me play some more Sergeant Ass.
Okay.
Thank you. tragic cause the sun's on fire. The sun's on fire, the sun's on fire. Mama's gonna ground you cause you're playing hardball. You're playing hardball, you're playing hardball. Cause you're playing hardball. Cause you're playing hardball. Cause you're playing with luck. You're playing with luck. You're playing with luck. Doctor's gonna kiss you cause you're tainted in sin. You're tainted in sin. You're tainted in sin. You're tainted in sin. You're tainted in sin.
Thank you.
alone in a roadside stalemate. Always on my own. Got my fairy tales to pass the time all along. Keep it on call. Nobody's calling me out on the storytelling. I think I could do for someone to hold. Time's coming to get it on. If wishes were the secret key to unlock every heart, change what isn't there. Years of waiting won't make a spark. Falling stars can burn the sky, but they can't light the dark.
Let's see, we just heard Me and LP, Lisa Papineau, a good friend, amazing.
That's
amazing
a trippy
singer.
Record, man. I like
it sure
that one.
It sure is. That's the singer from RX Bandits. And
is
Lisa
that right?
Papineau from Big Sur, which we heard earlier.
Yeah.
And, they're amazing together. And she
What's
is...
What's the name of the tune?
Truth Be Told.
Truth Be Told. You heard of that?
A song called Take Two, which is by Gypsy Blood, another band from Chicago. Great band. Before that was Elderly Pair Beaten with a Hammer by El Grupo Nuevo de Omar Rodriguez Lopez, and that's a project with Zach Hill again, myself again, and Juan Alderete again, and
wow.
Cedric and Omar and I.
Now you did sax solo.
I did this
for
weird kind of noisy, crazy.
And Juan did the
thing.
Bass. Huh?
And well, we both played the bass parts.
Oh, really?
Like, together with me with a synth with different sounds and effects and him playing
straight
the bass
bass,
and they kind of like bled them together. Or,
good.
Yeah, and then
man,
I
he
took
really
that
is
weird
a good
song.
Player. I respect him.
Juan?
You
oh,
too.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah. And what was in front of that?
In front of that was Tainted in Sin by Le Butcherettes.
Okay.
Off of the Sin Sin.
Is that
Sin?
One you guys used to do?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we
That's
sure did.
Intense tune. I think I remember hearing it.
Yeah.
And what did we start with?
A Mutiny by Red Sparrows, which is a band that had guys from the VSS, and since then they've become Marriages. And
what town?
Here in LA.
They're SoCal band. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I play in another thing with the drummer Dave Clifford. Been jamming with him lately.
Not Doug Clifford. That was CCR. Big hi-hats. So what's in the future?
God, I don't know. A lot of things, I hope. More Dot Hacker. Been playing some with one of the dudes from Queens of the Stone Age, Troy. And
yeah.
John Theodore.
Yeah.
Drummer from Mars Volta and Zach Del Rocha's thing. Playing with a lot of people. I don't know. I'm going on tour with the Shins for doing side mousy stuff for a minute. I don't know. Trying to stay busy, you know.
Sure,
playing
sure.
Playing with as many people as I can get in. I'm going to do some stuff with Christian, I think, sometime soon.
Oh, wow.
We can work that out. And if I can find, you know, a minute to
to do it.
To work on it.
Advice for young person getting into music from your journey through music.
Advice. Well, listen to everything, I'm going to say. Listen to everything. Get passionate about the stuff you love. And make it. You know, make music. Don't just be passive with it.
Okay.
Make your own.
You got a place on the web people can get to you?
Yeah. I mean, they can reach out to me on Twitter and Facebook. It's just my name each time. I'm
easy, for the kids.
Easy to find. It's Jonathan, Jonathan, Hischke, Hischke. And easy guy to find.
Okay. I want to thank you big time for coming aboard. Oh,
my pleasure.
Bass brother, I love what you got, passion. You got energy.
Oh.
You ain't belly aching. You ain't moaning and bitching about bumps in the road because they come. Because you're a big picture man, and you're a big hero to me.
Oh, what?
Respect. Thanks for coming aboard. People, it's been the June 7, 2012 edition of Watt for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.